So this morning, we are going to look at Daniel. So who here knows the story of Daniel? We have a few. Now, I know the kids who have been up in the kids' church for the past few weeks, they've been talking about the exile and the things leading up towards that. And I think I've jumped a little farther ahead than what they're studying right now, but we're going to also be focusing on the exile this morning. And specifically, we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 1. And so, Daniel was a prophet in the Bible. He was taken from his home and taken to Babylon when they invaded the land of Judah. And God allowed them to be taken to exile because of all of the unfaithfulness towards him and his commands. Daniel was one of the few who still feared the Lord and honored him no matter what the cost. Also, when Daniel was taken into captivity with his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were only youth at the time, basically teenagers at this time that they were taken captive. But even though they were young, they were obedient to the Lord above all else. They remained obedient and set apart from all the people in their own country, but also the other countries that surrounded them. And when everyone else was giving in to the pressure to be just like everybody else, they chose to be different. They chose to remain faithful to God, and God honored that by giving these four youth unparalleled wisdom in all different kinds of things. God even gave Daniel the ability to understand dreams and visions. And so let's read the first chapter of Daniel. It is not going to be on the screen, so if you have your Bibles, you can open them with me. Or you can just listen along and really try to picture this scene happening in your head. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar and to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. And then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, four youth whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine that he himself drank, and appointed that they should be educated for 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander and the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food and with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, whom has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and some water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating of the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all of the youths who had been eating of the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and wine they were to drink, and he kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youth, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them. And out of all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. So we see here that this is the initial account of what was happening with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But let's jump back just a little bit before this and kind of get some context for why they're now being led into exile. And so we jump all the way back to King Solomon. We see that after his rule of the kingdom, that the kingdom of Israel was split into two. And the larger of the tribes that were left, as in the 10 tribes that grouped together, they retained the name Israel, and they were the northern kingdom. But the remaining 2 tribes, they decided to take the name of the larger of those tribes, which was Judah. And so the southern kingdom took on the name of Judah. For many generations, the northern kingdom of Israel, they had many kings. Each kingdom actually had many kings arise and take the throne over generations. But in the northern kingdom, in Israel, there was not one king who honored the Lord. They continued to do wicked things and evil in the sight of God. And God sent his prophets to them to warn them to repent and to turn from their sin. And they did not repent. And years before this account that we're reading here with Daniel, who was in the kingdom of Judah, we see that the northern kingdom was already taken into exile. They were taken by the Assyrians. And now for the southern kingdom, for Judah, they also had many kings who did wicked things and evil things in the sight of God. But there were a few kings within the kingdom of Judah who saw their sin and they repented and brought the people back to worshiping God and God alone. And for this reason, God delayed in sending them into exile. But sure enough, he kept his promise to them that he sent through the prophets. And now Nebuchadnezzar, the king of a new world power, came through on a conquest and conquered the land of Judah and took people from them, the royalty and the nobles who were in the land. So we see that the stage is set for us that during the first chapter of the book of Daniel, the people are going astray and they are ignoring God, and they are delivered into the hands of the Babylonians, who dragged them away into exile. Yet, though God's people begin to live in exile, God gives them opportunities to live faithfully. Just as God gives us opportunities today within our culture and our time to live faithfully, even though we are among those who are set against him. And we see this play out throughout the story of Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were Judean youths from noble and royal descent. And immediately, we see the tension or the stress in this story. Because these four youth, they were handpicked to be trained in Babylon culture, and that we have a strong guess that they were also meant to serve the interests of the Babylonian Empire while they were serving in the king's court. So do they give in to the pressure and forego their own religion, their own culture, their own ethics, like many others were doing at that time? Or do they stand against the tide and continue to be obedient to the Lord no matter what the cost, even if it ends up costing them their own life? And as we have found out, that Daniel's name was changed from Daniel to Belteshazzar. Daniel, that name in Hebrew means God is my judge. And Belteshazzar was a namesake of the Babylonian idols. Daniel's physical appearance was also most likely altered to fit the beauty standards of the Babylonians. Yet Daniel perseveres in his faith. He chooses to serve the one true God and does not defile his heart with the customs of the Babylonians. Now, this could be the result of Daniel's desire to observe the Jewish dietary laws that were outlined in the law. It could also be that he didn't want to consume food that had been offered to Babylonian idols. But the point is that these Judean youths sought to be dependent on their God for their success. While others were giving in to Babylonian customs, we see at the end of the chapter that God honors the sacrifices of these young men and blesses them with unparalleled understanding. This first chapter illustrates how God calls us to be set apart in the face of insurmountable pressures. We are to set our dependence and our trust in God, who is in control of kingdoms, kings, and servants. Let us persevere and not trade in our faith for the perceived benefits of our culture or of a culture that is in opposition to our God. And so this is a call to be set apart. God's people are called to be set apart as holy. Now, what does it mean to be set apart? And we can look back in the Old Testament and we see that this term is used many times. And in the Old Testament specifically, the term is used to describe the utensils and the objects that were used in the temple for worship. They were consecrated for a specific purpose, being set apart from the things that would be used for everyday common things for the purpose of worshiping God in the temple. We also see that the Levites themselves were set apart from the rest of the tribes of Israel. They were set apart for the purpose of worshiping God in the temple or through playing music or whatever else that they were set to do for him. And as followers of Christ, we are called to be set apart, clearly different from the common tools that are used for everyday things. We're sanctified for a purpose, and that is to worship and bring glory to God. Now, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were of four youth who were adamantly, or they were strong-faced, towards honoring God and obeying all his commandments, even when the rest of the world and those who were around them were not. In the first six books of Daniel, it gives us a narrative of the account of these four youth and ultimately what would happen to them because of their obedience to God over their submission to the culture and the king that they were under. Daniel and his friends were seeking to continue to honor God as set apart from the culture that they were now subjected to. We know that God's law required them not to eat meat that still had the blood in it, as per the directions that were given in the book of the law. And so they sought to continue this by not eating the meat that was on the king's choice food menu. And more than likely that they were offered also to the Babylonian gods. And God blessed them for their faithfulness to him. And this was the first way that he chose to be obedient to God and to be set apart. It was the first way that those four chose to be set apart for God and to bring glory to his name. And we see that Daniel was in the position of authority. The text here says that he was there until the reign of Cyrus. So if we look back through history, we see that that's almost a 70-year period, and that goes over the course of four dynasties. And so you think about this, that Daniel was in that position of authority, high up, serving within the king's court over four different dynasties. And this is at a time when the new rulers, the new dynasties that were coming in, they were eliminating the old dynasties. They were killing off the kings, and they were getting rid of all of the people who were in leadership at that point and bringing in their own dynasty. But we see God's faithfulness to Daniel through this by his ability to be within the king's court over the course of four different dynasties. Daniel was an exile, meaning that Daniel was taken from his home by force, taken from the very land in which God promised to give them through the promise to Abraham. Daniel was, in a sense, a prisoner of war, captured by the enemy, and God allowed this and commanded this because of the wickedness of the people of Israel and Judah as a whole. Daniel was a saint among sinners, and he was even a friend to those sinners. Daniel was close to God, and yet he was close to the very leaders who hated God. The main point here is that God is present even when you are in exile. God is present even in times when it seems like he is so far off and away. And we are called to remain obedient to him and to stay set apart no matter the cost. So let us look to the New Testament here for just a quick second to look at this idea of what it means to be set apart. Peter, he writes to the believers of his day, and he says this, and this is just a paraphrase of mine. It says, "For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, even of the emperor." So the people, the believers in Christ of his day, were called, they were challenged to be obedient to God, first off, by accepting the authority and the rulers of the leaders who were placed above them. Because ultimately, God is in control. You know, God is in control of the leaders who are placed in authority over us. Because we can see also that God is in control over the leaders that he placed over the believers in the past as well. And so the believers here that Peter is writing to, they were told like not to be rabble-rousers or people who stirred up trouble and strife and contention, but they were to be a people that honored God through their loving and faithfully led actions. So why is it so important that Peter is telling the believers here at this time that they need to honor the emperor and obey the emperor? The key thing here is that Nero was emperor at this time. Nero was a very bad man. He was one of the cruelest emperors to have lived. He only ruled for a short time, a little more than a decade, but in this time, he performed so much evil. He tried killing his wife at one point. He tried even killing his mother-in-law, and he failed. And then he decided to send her on a boat and to have people go after that boat to sink the boat. And they did, but he failed. She survived. And then eventually, when he finally eliminated his mother-in-law at the funeral, he was there, "Woe is me, for I have lost someone in my life." He put on this big act, this big show, but everyone knew Nero. They knew that Nero did what Nero wanted. And one of the things that he did specifically to the Christians of that day was that the fire that consumed a large part of the city, he blamed that specifically on the Christians. And Nero was a man who lit his garden parties with Christians themselves. He was a very bad man. And Peter calls the Christians to be set apart as people who are obedient even to an emperor who is cruel and wicked. But above that, that they are to be faithful to God. And so he calls the Christians to open their homes and to continue to show love and kindness to those who are around them, regardless of what might become of them, even if it will require them to lay down their own lives in obedience to God as martyrs. Peter is echoing the lesson we see in Daniel on how to act and respond in a culture that is vastly different from what means to honor and fear God above all. Daniel and his friends obeyed God even at the cost of their lives, if it was necessary. So how are you set apart from the culture and the world that is around you? When people look at you, do they see someone who purposely seeks to honor God above the things of the world? Or do you blend in with everyone else who is around you, becoming indistinguishable from them and the culture of the world? Do you look like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Or do you look like the rest of the people of Israel and Judah who are giving in to whatever everyone else was doing because it was easier and less uncomfortable for them to do so? So let's get back to Daniel and his friends. Daniel and his three friends, they resisted the command to eat of the king's choice food. They were not going to eat of it, and the overseer was afraid for their lives. But more importantly, in his mind, he was afraid for his own life. But instead of fighting back, they provided an alternative for the overseer. Instead of making this an area where they rebelled and refused, that alternative that they provided was a way that led to success. And sometimes situations will arise when we as believers in Christ need to be on the productive side of things and provide these alternatives instead of complaining and, let's say, posting rants on our Facebook. I've seen that many times. But we see that they resisted what was attempted to be pushed upon them, and they remained submissive to God and what he called them to be set apart as holy, to not be defiled by the world, and to have a specific purpose. We saw that the first way that these four youths chose to be obedient and to submit to God over the kingdom that they were captured and forced to live within was that they refused to eat of the food that was required of them by the king himself. They resisted the culture and the rule of the king because they were submitting to a much higher kingdom, the kingdom of God. Their obedience and allegiance was to the Lord God over their earthly ruler. But we see within this, that they operated within their place within Daniel. Because Daniel was also a friend to those who were around him. He also served in the position that he was assigned to serve within. But when it came, when his duties there came against his duty to the Lord, he served the Lord above all. And Daniel was in the placement of being able to interpret dreams and visions. He was in the place to even interpret what was written on the wall by an invisible hand. He was given stature within this kingdom, but remained at heart wholly other from this kingdom. So the Underground Railroad is an interesting example of this same concept here of being resistant yet obedient to God. Resistant to the culture, yet obedient to God. It was a struggle where the North and the South were fighting over the issue of slavery. And the Underground Railroad was in place to help those who were in slavery to go through these stations, these different locations in which they could hide out and make their way to Canada, where they could be free to live. And the Wesleyan Church itself has a history with the Underground Railroad. There's a church actually in Syracuse itself that has had a station there. And there's also a church in southern Michigan, and this was interesting, that when they moved the church building, the old church building, from where it was sitting to be next to the new worship center, they found that under the pulpit, there was a trap door that led down to a tunnel that went across the street to the grocery store that was over there. There were people who were serving God who would come down from being up here up north preaching the gospel. They would go down to the south and they would begin preaching down there, and they would be beaten and they would be killed. They would be attempted to be eliminated as well. Even for giving out just a tract of the Ten Commandments, they would be brought in and beaten for that specifically. Because what they would be viewing down there is that when the Ten Commandments say, "Thou shalt not steal," they saw slavery as person theft. And so when they were sharing that down there, they were brought in as troublemakers and as rabble-rousers who were stirring up strife. And yet throughout this, they did not act violently. They did not come out against those people in anger. But they were obedient to God, and they showed love and care. And people that day, they would be like, "But you're a Christian. How can you act this way? How can you come down into a culture, into a topic that was very emotionally charged at that time, and speak against it?" And they say, "How can you act that way?" Now, we look back at that and say, what would it be like if they didn't act that way? Because we see the repercussions of that. We see the effects of their obedience to God and what has happened. And now, within this country, slavery is no longer legal. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, on another occasion, refused to bow down to a golden statue of the king. They resisted what was of the culture and the norm that everyone else was doing. Just imagine this. There's this giant golden statue, and everyone is commanded to bow down and to worship it. And those three are standing when everyone else is bowing down. You know, they are visually, immediately seen as resisting what was called upon them. And When they were brought before the king, he was so furious that he had the furnace heated to 7 times the normal temperature. He had them bound and he had them thrown into this furnace. Imagine for a moment what that would look like. This furnace that was large enough for people to actually walk within, being heated to 7 times the normal temperature, and for them to be bound and thrown in. But imagine this. Imagine the king's face when he looked in through the fire and he saw them walking around. And not only that, he saw a fourth person in there, one that was like the Son of Man, walking in the fire with them. A fire that was so hot that even when the soldiers went to go near it, they fell down dead because of the temperature. And yet not even a piece of their clothing was singed or touched by fire. God is faithful. And the Lord used this opportunity to bring glory to his name by not letting the fire touch them at all. The third occasion on which being set apart was when Daniel refused to worship the king as deity. Some high officials who didn't like Daniel tricked the king into signing a new law that forbid any worship except for the king. And Daniel didn't comply because he was set apart for God. He resisted the culture. And as he was praying to the Lord in his upper room, he was taken as prisoner. And he was thrown into the lion's den. And we see here again that God is faithful. He honored Daniel and kept the mouths of the lions shut for the entire night that he was in there. And when they opened up in the morning, they saw that he was still there. And he came out because the king actually liked him and didn't want to have to do this, but he had to be obedient to his law that he had written in himself. And when he came out, the officials that conspired against him were thrown in and they were eaten immediately. God is faithful. And to the common Jewish person this day, that when this moment of exile was happening, to the common Jewish person, there were 3 things that they sought to know that God was present. The first was land, the second was the temple, and the third was the king. So as long as they were sitting in the land, following the king, and worshiping in the temple, they had all the evidence that they needed to know that God was with them. The land, because of God's promise to Abraham, was this promised land that they now lived in. The king, because God was the one who first anointed Saul as king through the prophet Samuel. And the temple, because it was ordered to be built as a house for the Lord. But in the first 2 verses of the book of Daniel, we see that all 3 of these things are taken away. They lost the land when they were defeated, and then they were moved away to a new land in Babylon. They lost the king when Jehoiakim was captured and forced to watch over a period of time, his sons being eliminated and having his own eyes put out, and then he was led away by the army. They lost the temple when the Babylonians busted the wall down and burned the temple. And adding insult to injury, they took all the sacred objects from the temple of the Lord and they brought them to the temple in Babylon and placed them before their little god. The common Jew at this time would have thought that they lost all and that God was not with them. But Daniel knew better. Daniel knew that God was present even in exile. You see the work of God throughout the entire account of the book of Daniel. God was the one who fills the young people with spiritual gifts of wisdom and knowledge. It is God who gives the dreams to the king. It is God who writes on the wall with an invisible hand that you have been weighed and found wanting. It is God who walked with them in the fiery furnace. It is God who shuts the mouths of lions. And it is God who responds to the prophet who prays for 3 weeks. Daniel looks at all of this and says that even when God seems absent, he is present. Even when it looks like God is inactive, he is still at work because God is faithful. Even when God doesn't seem to be active, he is. God is always active. And if we forget that and try to become overactive and try to convince people before it is time to be convinced, we try to fight God's battles for him, he doesn't need us to fight his battles. We only need to stand firm and to be obedient to what he has called us to because God is faithful. So looking back on this account of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we see that we are called to be set apart no matter the cost. At work or at school, when someone tells an inappropriate joke, that we should not join in. We should not be like the rest of the world and the culture that is around us. When we see someone in need, we need to show this person love, being obedient to God above all else. We love others because Christ first loved us and became a living sacrifice, pure and holy, to redeem us in the sight of God. Now, we as followers of Christ are called to be living sacrifices. Being set apart as holy may also require us to resist the common norm of the day and to not be like everyone else who is around us, even if it is easier and less of a hassle for us. When we resist it, we must not do it with force or with negativity, but with love and compassion and obedience to the God who is above all. And we need to remember that God is present even in exile. He is always at work and on the move. Even when your situation seems dire, it seems like there is no way out, God is present. Continue pushing forward in obedience to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would meet us here this day, that you would challenge us, that you would bring us to a new level. God, we are imperfect, and we will never be perfect, but I pray that you would sanctify us, that you would set us apart for a specific purpose, that you would purify us. And Lord, that you would give us the boldness that we need to stand firm in obedience to you. God, even if it means that we are the ones left standing when everyone else is bowing, Lord, at whatever the cost, God, I pray that you would work within our hearts, within our minds, that you would transform us and renew us, that you would make us into your likeness. In your heavenly name, amen.